You are listening to Two Guys on Set Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Two Guys on Set Podcast with your host Gary
and Jaimito.
Hey yo, bow, 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 bow. What's going on, Mr. Gary?
Jaimito, you know, a lot of nothing is going on.
Nothing. We have a great episode this week.
We do.
We have an interview this week.
Yeah, finally. Took a while, but we got one.
Great.
We got one. It's a very good interview.
What kind of a podcast are we, Gary?
We are a weekly. Sometimes weekly podcast.
Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly, sometimes quad-weekly.
Or monthly.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, or monthly. we talk about behind-the-scenes stories from working in the film and television industry.
And events.
And events, along with,
TV reviews.
Movie and TV reviews. And
interviews with crew members.
Yeah, that's one thing we're going to start implementing more of.
I like interviews.
Interviews, yeah, it's good. It's good. Get the inside scoop, you know?
And whatever else we think is funny in the film biz.
Yep. today we have a really good interview. It's we have Gabe and Steph. They're creating an animated short film called What We're Meant For. So we're going to talk to them and see about how their process is and how everything's all coming together.
And we want you to donate to their Kickstarter.
Yeah, help them out.
It's a great little project.
Yeah, it's a great project.
It's a project with a good message,
yeah,
I believe.
Definitely, definitely.
So now we're going to move into the interview.
Yeah, let's get into it. Got a special guest today. Yeah. We got Gabe and Steph.
Hello.
Hello.
Me and Gabe, we worked together 5 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah.
A couple times.
At Wrestling Jerusalem.
Yeah. The desert.
Yeah. It was a feature we did in the desert.
A feature?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doubled for the Middle East. We shot it in some dry lake bed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cuddleback Lake.
Yes. Yes, wow. That was it. That was really fun, too.
It was.
Driving around the lake bed.
Yeah,
in a video game or something.
Yeah, it was crazy because like 360 degrees is just the desert.
Yeah. You could turn the car in any direction and go any way you wanted.
And we got lost leaving one day. Because they set up really? Like... they put like glow sticks to like find the exit.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And then the glow sticks went out one day.
Remember how windy it was?
Yeah, we lost... We lost four pop-ups, I think, the first day.
Someone left the door to one of the vans open, and the wind bent the door backwards and, like, did a lot of damage.
Yep.
And our producer was, like, really mad.
Yeah.
And then the next day, she did the same thing.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, well, I guess it is kind of just
easy.
An environment of the...
Yeah.
Or... result of the environment. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Number one rule, you don't do pop-ups.
Don't do pop-ups.
Desert.
Especially in the desert. When it's super windy.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we need it for the shade. But then they all break. And that's that.
Yeah.
That was a crazy job.
That was a fun job, though.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
We had,
so you were second AD on that?
It was non-union, so
the
roles were not as defined. I was technically like the key PA, but I was also doing the second AD job because, you know, low budget. You don't have a person for every position, so people fill in and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a cool job.
Yeah.
We ate at, it was in the middle of the Mojave, so there was no like real places to eat at.
There's
so we ate
anywhere.
We ate at
Were you on that shoot as well?
No.
Oh, you went out. I just
ate at a Casey's Steak and Barbecue every night.
Yeah. At least it was good.
It was good. Yeah. Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was good times. So so you guys are working on a new project.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about why you guys are here.
We are working on an animated film, animated short called What We're Meant For. I come from the world of live action, but obviously, since we were just talking about that, but Stephanie comes from animation, so together we're embarking on this new animated project.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What is the gist? What is the story? Can you give us a little synopsis, maybe?
It's a drama. It has fantasy and thriller elements. The fantasy elements are really what makes it animated and not live action. It's about a 13-year-old girl and her relationship with her dad. Their mom, or her mom, just died like shortly before the film starts. And the film is really about their dealing with that and how difficult that is. Specifically, it deals with like this moment because the daughter and the dad are kind of dealing with it in opposite ways. Neither is handling it well. And the film really looks at the moment when that really comes to a head and they have a lot of conflict with each other. We look at things like, you know, loss and family, mental health. It's a pretty heavy film. It's definitely animation for teenagers and adults, not for kids.
Yeah.
But it's actually, we're really excited for it because it's really inspirational, like uplifting film. I'm very much into doing raw emotional storytelling. And a lot of times when you're tackling mental health and heavy topics and drama, that can come off as really bleak and depressing. But this is a story that's really uplifting and positive while at the same time being raw and honest and personal. I think it's like best of both worlds. I think that's why we're so excited about it. We really think it can really connect with people.
What are your roles in this project, individual?
Well I wrote it and I'm directing it. I come from live action, so I'm kind of using that same that same approach. And then Stephanie is like the animation person, and she's kind of like tailoring my live action knowledge and saying this, okay, you do your thing, but this is how it works in animation.
Right, so
I don't know if you want to expand upon that.
I'm co-producer along with Gabe on the film, and I went to school for animation. I'm more in production management now, but I do have that animation background. So I'm the one that kind of reels him back in, and I'm like, no, that's not how we do it in animation.
Right, because I'm sure there's so many things that are different.
Yeah,
it's very, very different, and I don't have a live action background at all. So as much as he's learning from me, I'm learning a lot from Gabe too about the live action world.
A lot of it's just different just in the way you like communicate with someone. Like the way you would communicate with a concept artist or an animator is different than the way you would communicate with an assistant director or a camera operator, or actor and voice actor I think will probably be pretty similar. But
the production period, because it's basically like a very slow crawl. It's like a slow choo-choo train keeps chugging. You know, you're not on set. You're not getting things done day by day. It's going to take so much longer.
Yeah, like one scene could probably take, what, like a month or something?
Yeah.
Because there's so much work that goes into it.
Months.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, that's a big difference that I'm definitely experiencing. Yeah. That's the one thing everyone told me is it's going to take way longer. And it's going to be way more expensive.
Because it takes so long.
I was aware of that going into it, but actually like experiencing it, and it's just like, I just want to go on set and have a million things going on at once. And then it's like this crazy ride, and then we're done in like a month but it's not like that.
Like when you're shooting on set, you can get through 8 pages a day.
Right.
The way animation works, just to break it down a little bit, 1 second is 24 frames.
Right.
So it takes someone, and ours is frame by frame animation.
Right.
So someone is hand drawing every single frame. So it's 24 frames only 1 second of animation. Mm-hmm. It's
24
insane.
Pictures.
24 pictures.
On how fast the animator works and everything.
Our film is about 12 minutes long, so it's 24 times 60 times 12 individual drawings that we're going to have for our film.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Is it more streamlined though nowadays with digital? Is it really handwritten individually, or is
It is digital.
Yeah.
All of our artists are going to be animating digitally.
Right.
But they still have to go through the process
of
drawing every single frame, even though it's on a Cintiq through the computer.
Right.
It's streamlined, but it's also not. if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you know, there's only so much you can do. I mean, there's other kinds of animation that are much more streamlined. There's different kinds of animation that they do for, like, TV shows. And it's called puppet animation, where you basically have this sort of rig. And this is getting a little more complicated, but you basically have this rig, and that is streamlined, and it makes animation go much faster. But when you're doing frame by frame, you can't get around not drawing out every single frame.
Yeah, one of the things about our project, because it tackles such serious subjects, and it's such a, like, we think it's a, such a high quality, you know, specifically in the story and the characters, is we want the animation to match it. So we really are looking for, like, that high quality animation, you know, like, we really need to see performance in the characters' faces and emotion. And, you know, I love, I say this a lot, I love South Park. It's one of my favorite shows. And the animation works for the type of stories that they tell.
Yeah, it's super simple.
But it doesn't work for the type of stories we tell. We really got to have that high quality, like, Disney-style animation where then you can actually, even if you turn off the volume and just watch the audio, you can see the emotional response in the characters just through their faces and the real natural flow of the body movements and all that stuff. So that makes it more difficult for us, but it's what our story demands, and it's what we want to do with it to do our script justice. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and especially that's something that, like, will up the production value no matter what.
Definitely.
So it'll just make it look that much better.
I mean, that's one of the things about animation today is, like, the stories aren't always the best and the films aren't always the best, but the animation is phenomenal. Like, audiences have really been, I don't want to use the word spoiled, but, like, Disney and DreamWorks and Pixar, it's Sony Animation. The actual quality of the animation itself is really good.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a formula that works, you know, that was perfected over decades.
Yeah, yeah.
But
the kind
of
stuff that they, the kind of stuff that they do, though, is, like, more computer drawn, right?
Yeah, so everything that is being churned out in feature films nowadays, and even most shorts, you know, Pixar, Disney, Sony, everybody, it's all 3D computer animation.
Right.
So it's a completely different kind of workflow from what we're doing.
We're doing, like, different. The pre-Pixar style back in the early 90s.
It's definitely more traditional. It's basically traditional 2D animation, but digitized because it's going to be done on the computer.
How did you guys decide, like, you wanted to go 2D versus 3D? Was it, like,
the script
just
itself?
A preference? It's how the script was.
Yeah, we both read it, and just individually we both said this is just how we see it. I think the reason why we chose that is, at least in my, a 3D animator might disagree with me on this, but from my own perspective, I feel like 3D animation is a lot more technical and there's a lot more precision, and the emotional response comes mostly just solely from the story itself, and that works for the type of stories that are told. Our story, we wanted to get an emotional response from the story, but we also wanted to get an emotional response just from the visual style and images.
Right.
And with 2D animation, it really allows, because it's more like paintings or drawings, it really allows the actual concept artists and the animators to put their own stamp on it and give their own emotional response to it. So I think for me, that's why I saw it as 2D and not 3D. It's just that extra artistic expression that you can do with 2D.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's it's so cool. Like the world of animation is, like, amazing.
Yeah, and there's it's really incredible, and just, like, how much talent there is with people out there with the concept artist we have. We got so lucky with her. She's just phenomenal.
So amazing.
And everyone's really been commenting us on, like, how great our artwork is.
Yeah.
And we're like,
yeah, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, we got really lucky. I was at a art festival randomly in Pasadena, and it was she was there in a booth, and I just saw her. She was just selling, like, her drawings and stuff, and I'm just like, that's my film right there. Like, and I didn't say anything to her. I was just, like, flipping through the artwork. Our film has a bunch of different, you know, there's a fantasy element, there's thriller elements, there's drama elements, there's happy moments, there's sad moments, and she had, like, a different picture that tonally kind of captured every single moment of the film. I couldn't believe it. And so it's just, like, meant to be, and I pitched the project to her, and she was excited to do it, and she's just been fantastic.
Is this gonna be a full feature film?
It's short. It's 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So yeah.
Are the plans to like go to festivals and stuff with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We definitely plan to submit to festivals.
I mean, I think
that whole circuit.
Yeah. The real plan is just to get as many people to see it as possible.
Right.
But with a project like ours, which, excuse me, our project's not really the type of film we think that would go viral or whatever. The real way to get as many people to see it as possible, because it's such a high quality project, is to go like that prestige route where you like play in festivals and look at how many festivals this film has played in, look at how many awards this film has won.
Right.
This
right.
film is stands out because, you know, this person, you know, this critic or this festival said so. And then we can start getting people, because there's so many films that are made today, animation and live action. The trick is to rise above the noise and just kind of like say, there's a bunch of films out there, but this film is special. You should watch it. And we think that whole festival way is the way for us to get that for our film.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great way, because especially like as the critics are seeing it and they're liking it, then, you know, once you get that notoriety, then other people are like, well, if he liked it, then I got to check it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially like you've ever, you know, you've seen the poster and it just has like 30 festivals that
and you've never heard of it, but you still want to watch
it exactly just because the visual image is impressive. So
definitely that's awesome.
So
you guys started the Kickstarter how long ago?
3 weeks
ago.
You guys have been doing good.
Thanks.
We're at the beginning of week four.
Week four. We are a little over 40% of the way to our goal. We've raised $24,000.
Wow.
Trying to raise $60,000. So we still have a long way to go. One of the things we were told when we were when we first started budgeting this, whenever we talked to animation or whenever we talked to animation people just about what we were doing, they would say something like, don't even consider an animator for who would work for less than like $25,000, because they have no idea what they'd be getting themselves into, and they will resent you for it in the long term, or they just won't do a good job.
Right.
And so we kind of built the budget around that entrance point. And so, yeah, we're definitely trying to raise a decent chunk of change.
Yeah.
We had a really good start, though. Yeah, we've definitely... came out of the gate strong. We're in the middle now. It's a little slower, but we're hoping we can pick up again at the end, because we got 2 weeks left. It's Kickstarter, so it's all or nothing. Yeah. You know,
you have to tell them like a time frame. Like,
yeah, we like tell them
it's 1 month.
We tell them the start date. We tell them the end date, and then if we don't get 100% by the end date, we don't get anything. It's all or nothing on Kickstarter. Yeah, because there's no point to
push this.
There's no point for us to raise half the amount. We can't make the movie if we raise half the amount.
Right,
and people are paying to get some move or donating to get some movie in return.
Right.
You know, we don't want to take half the money and then have their money and not be able to give something in return. Exactly. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So the chunk of the budget is going to be mostly for animators.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the biggest part of the budget.
Over half the budget is we actually have a breakdown of not a breakdown, but we have a little pie chart, so you can see kind of a quick breakdown of the budget on our page, and over 50% is specifically for animation specifically.
I mean, because and then probably the rest is like voice actors and all that stuff.
Storyboard artists, concept art, things like that. But yeah, the vast majority is animation. Oh, another thing we haven't mentioned too, because I come from live action and because I wrote the script, you know, there are things that you avoid in live action because if you're low budget, because they're just hard to do. Like,
oh, yeah, because of permitting and stuff like that.
Yeah, or like working with kids, working with animals, working with rain.
Yeah.
So animation has their own equivalents to that. And our film has a whole bunch of those things, because in live action, it's not a big deal. Yeah. But in animation, it's very difficult. And I wrote the script. I didn't even write the script planning for it to be animation. I just wrote the script because I had this really powerful story to tell. And it was only after I... So anyways, where I was going with this is our film has a lot of things that are difficult to animate and that your average animated short doesn't have in order to be a little bit easier to make. And we don't want to get rid of those things because they're really important to our story. Yeah. But
difficult as in emotion
of
the characters, or
we basically have all the things that are extra hard to do in animation, of course. You know, when you see a lot of animated shorts, especially, you know, Pixar shorts or the Disney shorts, there's almost always no dialogue.
Correct.
You know, because dialogue is harder to animate. It's not possible.
Oh, syncing the lips.
But it's lip syncing, yeah. So you have to, you know, sync up dialogue to the animated characters. So we have sync dialogue. We have quadrupedal motion because we have a horse.
Yeah. So apparently,
so that's an entirely different thing. You have to have someone who knows how to animate quadrupeds as opposed to just a person who's like walking. Not so much. It's not even about the sounds. No, it's about the fact that because if you have a horse, you know, not everyone knows how to animate a horse. Everyone has specialties. It's so broken down because there's animation, but that's sort of an umbrella term because there's all these things underneath that. Like people who specialize in animating quadrupeds like dogs and cats and horses.
I did not know that.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's much, because when you think about it, it's much different than animating a walk cycle with just humans.
Right.
You know, if you have a dog, that's four legs. It's double the amount that you have to like have look right.
Right.
So we have that, and we have atmospheric effects
like rain and lightning.
Oh, because it has to be different for each frame, like as far as like the effect of the rain.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything will be composited together, but you know, those are also added effects that we
how
have
many
to
animators
for.
Do you guys foresee being on this project?
A lot. I'm looking at least 15-20 now.
Wow,
it's most likely gonna have to be more than that.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see what happens. I mean, first things first, we have to secure our funding and then
we'll go from there.
Right.
So we're still at the very early stages of everything.
How long did it take you to write the script? Like, what was the process like?
What was that?
Those are Tweety Bird sound
effects. I just tweeted out.
It's hard to answer that question because there's a lot of different answers. The first draft of the script I wrote in probably 45 minutes. You know, sometimes this happens to me where it's just like there's this story that's like floating in the air and it's like always existed and I just like discovered it. Mm. And then I just got to like quickly write it down before I forget it.
Right.
Those are always the best stories that I write, which is frustrating because it's like such a rare occurrence. But so that happened, that I wrote it about 45 minutes, but then I probably spent, that had like the heart and the structure and the meat was there, but it wasn't ready to be made into a film. And I probably spent nine months working on that 12-page script that I wrote in 45 minutes to get it to the point where we were ready to make it. It was really frustrating because like, I realized it needs an opening scene that wasn't there and, you know, just like half a page. Yeah. It took me like 3 months to write that half a page opening. And then it's like I wrote 11 and a half pages in 45 minutes and then it takes me 3 months to write the half page opening.
Yeah, because it's like so much you want to like, you have to like introduce the characters and all that stuff. And it's like you want to have it perfect.
Right. Well, so and it was also, you know, part of that 3 months was not just was figuring out what the scene was, the right scene to introduce the characters because, you know, at one point, like I said earlier, the mom died before the film started. But at one point, I was playing with the mom's death scene being the opening scene of the film, or the opening scene of the film being before the mom died, and then we so I was playing with a whole bunch of things. So a lot of that 3 months wasn't actually writing that half page scene; it was figuring out what that half scene page was because that first half scene didn't come to me when the film was floating in midair. Everything but that did.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when you kind of have that idea, you just want to like write it really quickly so you don't forget. Yeah.
And then a lot of the stuff that came to me when the story was floating in midair wasn't correct. I mean, like structurally it was correct and tonally it was correct, but the actual like what I wrote on the page, the dialogue that the characters were saying or the actual action of the scene was not correct. So I had to like figure out what the correct version of what came to me, especially that was particularly true with the ending when I, was getting like feedback on the script. A lot of people were saying like the ending is, you know, there were issues with the ending. So we worked a lot. And the ending, I think, is the biggest change from what was in that first, you know, I call it the vomit draft, the 45 minute draft versus the final draft that took, that was 9 months later.
Yeah. Yeah, and people don't think about it. A 12-minute script could take forever to make because there's like so many rewrites. Mm-hmm. And
One of the things, too, about our script is people are constantly, not when they read the script, but when we tell them about it, they are always like, wow, that's a lot of stuff that you're fitting into 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And it really is. It really is a lot of stuff that we're fitting into 12 minutes. But it fits. It's like it works really well and it's structured really well. But it's also just one of those things where everything's like a moving part. And if you change one thing, it changes something somewhere else. And, right. You know, there's all these like different layers and these different dynamics. And you just got to make sure that they're all working together properly. So it's not just about like tweaking one thing. Tweaking one thing tweaks everything.
Yeah. Because it's all kind of connected.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is the story have an emotional attachment? Or how did you come up with the story? Is it something from your personal life?
The idea came from, this is the craziest story. about 5 years ago, I wanted to write a script. I was doing a writing exercise. I did this exercise where you come up with like 300 ideas and like 290 of them are terrible and 9 are okay. Yeah, yeah. And maybe there's one idea that's good that you can write from. So I did that, and about, you know, it's pretty exhausting coming up with 300 ideas like that. And halfway through, I was just exhausted. And can we use bad language?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever you want.
So I was like halfway through.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. I was like halfway through and I was exhausted. So I was just like, fuck it. I'm just gonna write the worst idea ever. And I just wrote this idea and it was just like, whatever. And then I was like, you know, if I want to come up with a good idea, I probably shouldn't be just saying, fuck it. Who cares? Right. So I took a break and, you know, came back to it and finished the exercise. I finished the exercise, picked the idea that I thought was the best, wrote a script on it. I don't even remember what script it was. It was fine, whatever. 5 years later, I learned a lot about writing. I'd taken an entire workshop, which completely changed my approach to writing, completely changed what I thought about writing, and I needed something to write. So I'm like, well, why don't I go back to those exercises I did with all those ideas? Maybe something that I didn't think was a good idea back then, I'll view differently now that I know so much about writing. And I was looking through this list of the 300 ideas, and I got to that fuck it, I don't care idea. And I'm like, there's something there with that one. That's the idea. And all the other ideas I still thought were equally terrible, but that one idea. And so that was the idea. And then I just explored that, and that's where the story came from. So I did put a lot of myself into the film. I always put a lot of myself into the film whenever, no matter what the story is, I find a way to personalize it.
Right.
Yeah. So that is there. But yeah, really the story just came from this writing exercise I did.
That's great.
That I thought was, and I just was so angry at it that I just didn't even care. And then I came up with this idea that came out.
That's happened to me with sketches. I'll write sketches and then I'll be like, one day I'll shoot it. And then I don't do anything with it for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll be going through my sketches and I'll be like, this has got some, I got to put some work into this.
Gary and I always have ideas for sketches.
Yeah, all the time.
There's something, really... you can tell, it's intangible. Like, you can't explain it, but when there's an idea that has something there, it has some meat on it,
You
can just feel it. And you can't even necessarily say what it is. You just feel that there's some energy behind that isn't behind the other ones.
Right.
And so that was why I chose that idea, and then I expanded it into this story. I'll let Stephanie talk in a sec because I know she wants to jump in because coincidentally, I wrote the story that I wrote is very like spot on with her personally. Oh, mm-hmm. So she can talk really about that personal aspect of it.
I mean, I still don't know how Gabe came up with the script because the things that happen, I mean, mostly to the main character, her losing her mother, he hasn't gone through that. So it was just kind of amazing that he came up with this. And then he came up with something that was so spot on for me because I lost my father to cancer 3 years ago. And it's always been just me and my mom. I'm an only child. And I don't have a horse or anything. I wish, but that would be cool. But I don't. I'm not that cool. But, you know, when you lose a parent, when you lose someone so important in your life, you have to find a new normal. Yeah. And so I was reading the script and it just really spoke to me because a lot of the dynamic between Jamie and her father, Richard, you know, of them just trying to cope with the biggest loss of their lives and not knowing how to do that, it absolutely spoke to me because my mom and I also had to try and deal with not having our third person there anymore.
Right,
she actually relates to this script a lot because my mom was about 12 years old when her mother died. And her dad also just kind of retreated into himself and didn't know how to deal with it. So, I mean, for me and my mom, our family, it's very personal for us. So it's a story that I'm, from the get-go, I was very passionate about.
When I approached Stephanie with the script, to myself, I said, this is either the perfect project for her or it's the worst project in the world for her to do. Yeah. And I didn't know how she was going to react to it.
How do you guys know each other? How do you guys
We're family friends. We've known each other our whole life. Okay. So, so that's
interesting.
Been a nice... that we knew each other and finally able to work together on this one project.
And is it implied how the father died? Is the father?
Mother died.
The mother.
In the story?
It's not. Okay. Yeah, she's just... But it's, you know, there are... It's we never imply a specific way, but it's definitely like she died a natural death. She wasn't like murdered or anything.
Right.
It was like, you know, because the characters would be having a different emotional reaction to that.
Right. Keeps it a little lighter.
So,
it's just different.
Yeah. It's a little bit more, you know, natural. It's more about the emotional response, not the societal response or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In our minds, just because, you know, we create the world, we know everything that happens. She did die of cancer, not the same type of cancer.
Right.
But she did die of cancer. But that's not explicitly stated in the film because it's not really important. The important thing is just that she's no longer there. But the actual method or way she died wasn't that important. That was things I was experimenting with when I was talking about that opening scene. At one point, the opening scene was like the car crash where she like dies.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, eh. But then it's like, it just didn't work. And it just like, it became about the death itself instead of about the characters dealing with the death and the grief and
because like if your parent dies in a car crash or is murdered or something, I feel like the outlook is totally different than if they just died of natural causes.
Exactly And that's one of the things, I think the themes, I'm not a big fan of that word, but one of the ideas we explore in the film is how do you deal with things that are like beyond your control.
Right.
And there's so much in this world that's beyond our control, and the only thing we can control our reaction to those things, but we can't control the things, and we try and control them sometimes until we realize that we can't. So I think that's a big reason why, you know, we went with the whole natural death, because that's beyond our control. There's, I mean, we can try and do things with doctors, but sometimes there's just nothing you can do. And we wanted to explore that. And there's other elements of the film, not just that element, that's also related to that. You know, there's a whole mental health aspect of it that we haven't got into yet. Our main character is 13. She's kind of dealing with her first ever mental health episode because that was triggered by this. She doesn't even know what it is and how to handle that. And that's a lot of me putting myself into the film because I've dealt with a lot of that. In fact, I didn't even realize I had that issue until a couple of years ago. So I really was living my whole life with that issue without even realizing it. And this is another thing where, so on top of the loss and the grief, she also has like the mental health thing going on. And that's also something that's like beyond your control. There's nothing you can do about it. You just kind of got to.
Yes.
I mean, there are things you can do about it, like, you know, getting treatment and getting help, but you can't fix it. Like, it's there. It's something part of you. You have to learn to deal with, and you have to accept it, and you have to work with it. You can't fight it. You can't beat it, because it's it's part of your chemicals in your brain and part of your DNA. Right. And so the film kind of like looks into that as well, and just the things you can, you know, control, and the things you just have to accept because you can't control them. That's another aspect that we look into.
I don't think I've ever seen an animated short of or film that deals with mental
Well, and that's, you know, that's one of the points. So many, I mean, there's so many great animated films out there, both feature and short films, but a lot of films, a lot of animated films are more on the happy side, even the ones that aren't, you know, geared towards kids, because there's a lot of smaller studios
where animation is. There is death in Disney films.
There is death,
but there's not
the
really...
way they take care of it, you know, it's not the main focus. You know, it's oh, parent died, but then, you know, it's like they completely move on
then
from
it. Then it's a different story.
Yeah, it turns, like even in Big Hero 6, you know, his brother died.
His brother died,
but then... I mean, it was about avenging
him becoming...
his death, but, you know, it became about something much more greater than that.
The one animated film I do want to say that's specifically about mental health is Inside Out, that one is
Inside Out. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's the one that's like specifically about, like, they never say it in that film, but the main character in the film is the 13-year-old girl. She definitely like has depression and she's going through a depressive episode in the film. I mean, that's what depression is like. People think depression is like overwhelming sadness, but it's really not. Depression is like a void of emotion. So when in Inside Out, when joy and sadness are kind of like removed from her brain and she cannot feel that anymore and she's just kind of like numb and just filled with anger and fear, that is like exactly what depression is. So Inside Out would be a good example of a film that tackles it, but it is a really rare thing to tackle in animation or even in live action. I feel like one of the things I've noticed about live action films that tackle animation or live action films that tackle mental health, I find that they mostly tackle it from a perspective of someone who has it so they can understand it. And those films often are like hated by most people, but loved by a very small percentage of people. Like I think the example I always think of is Lost in Translation, which is basically a movie about depression. And like 95% of the world says, I don't get it. You know, this film, I don't see the appeal. And then that small subset of the population is like, oh my God, this is a brilliant film.
Yeah.
But we wanted to do something different from our film. We wanted to have it so that it appeals both to people who are going through these situations, but also so that people who aren't going through the situations, to try and maybe have illustrate it in a way that is more understandable. That's also where a lot of the animation comes in, because you know our film has like fictional characters and monsters and ghosts and you know underworld settings, and that is really just us trying to visualize a mental health episode, and so that to try and make it a little bit more understandable what people are going through to people who aren't going through it.
Yeah
I mean, like, going back to Inside Out, it's yes, it does deal with it, but they wrapped it up in like a neat little bow where you don't really realize, you know, that it's about mental health because it's a Pixar film. So, you know, they kind of hide those things, but our film doesn't hide away from these topics at all. It's right there in front of you on the screen. And I think that's what's going to make our film as an animated film different from others, because we're not shying away from these really serious topics.
Yeah, that's why I think it's so interesting, because like you said, most most bigger features, like, they'll deal with these things and then you'll kind of forget about it, because it'll be like,
well, they'll still underlying. Still deal with in like a cutesy, happy way.
A happy funny
and
way,
not in a realistic way,
or just not in a, like a raw, like, I really like films that are raw.
Yeah, would you consider this, even though obviously it's because animated, but would you consider it like drama or like...
It's definitely a drama. More thriller, drama. Definitely drama. It has elements of fantasy and elements of thriller.
But definitely more but drama.
Are you guys targeting a certain age group, maybe?
I think teenagers and up. Okay. Teenagers and adults. Yeah. It's definitely material that would not be appropriate for kids. For kids. I don't think...
Because it's animation, you know, that's kind of a misconception. Because
I have this problem now with a five-year-old as to what to show him. Animated wise, and there's a lot of serious animation. There's a lot of animation you shouldn't see. Like, he wanted to see that sausage movie.
I was just gonna say,
you shouldn't show
He sees that poster. He sees it, like, he's scrolling through the movie options and he sees it and he's like, I wanna see that. I'm like, no, you're not.
It looks fun. It's like talking food. Yeah. That's fun. Even I've seen Sausage Party, so like
That's funny. I mean, ours isn't not appropriate for kids in the same way that that one isn't appropriate for kids. But yeah, the idea that animation is for kids is really just like a specifically like American thing because of Disney. If you went out into the rest of the world, Europe and Asia, animation's really for adults or for everyone.
Anime.
That's a really great example.
I mean, when animation was first basically invented, it wasn't aimed towards kids. These guys were making it for themselves. You know, it wasn't until, I mean, Disney's amazing. I'm a huge Disney fan, but it wasn't until the introduction of Disney that it became more of a thing for kids. Even Warner Brothers was more aimed at adults. Even the early Disney cartoons are not really for kids. You know, it's just become this thing where animation is more for kids, but
Just to be clear, there's nothing wrong with animation for kids. The only thing that's wrong is the idea that animation is only for kids.
Yeah.
Animation can be for anyone. And the idea that, like, we've heard stories of parents saying, I'm so glad I had a kid so I could go see this animated film. And, like,
I've heard that too. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Just go see it.
You
like,
can
I'll
see it anyway.
Yeah. I'll go to an animated film by myself or with my wife. Just, you know, with that idea that it's just for kids is kind of not. Right. Well, not kind of not right. It's definitely not right.
It's for everybody.
It's just a different form of, it's a different art form. It's a different way of filmmaking.
Yeah, totally.
Really,
mislabeled.
Really unique.
Yeah,
it's definitely mislabeled. I mean, it's for kids, but I also think it's, Gabe's right, it's for everybody. I mean, kids can see our film. We don't recommend it.
Right.
We won't, you know, we can't stop people, but we don't recommend it. But I mean, they technically could.
Right.
They might be bored.
The other thing, which I appreciate, was in your question. I don't know if you intended it, but asking us if it was a genre. A lot of people, or a drama, a lot of people consider animation a genre. But animation isn't a genre. Animation is a technique. You could have animated action films, animated comedies, animated dramas, animated, you know, that'd
you
be like
animated love story, romance too.
Yeah, you could have. And so the genre of our film is not animation. The genre of our film would be drama with elements of thriller and fantasy. Mm-hmm. I really like thrillers. Thriller, I think, is my favorite genre.
Yeah.
I think I always call thrillers dramas that are fun.
Oh yeah, because it adds more like suspense.
Exactly. And so our film has a lot of those thriller elements in it, but at its heart, it's definitely a drama because at its heart, it's about the relationship between Jamie and her father.
Yeah.
And
it's not scary though.
Yeah. Definitely not
scary. I don't like scary films at all. I'm a huge wimp, so I mean, definitely a thriller, but.
I don't
not
know.
Scary.
Our monster could be scary to some people.
I know.
People.
Once it gets, I was just thinking about that. Uh-huh. Once it gets animated, I'm probably going to be like, oh my God, I'm scared of this thing.
That might be kind of funny to have an animated horror film.
Yeah. I think
they exist.
Oh, really?
I actually just saw one. Yeah, I watched one and it started out innocent and then it ended up completely terrifying. It was a straight up horror, like
that's
a horror
crazy,
movie. It was an animated horror short. It was insane.
I maintain that the original Rescuers is a horror film. Not the Rescuers Down Under, but the original Rescuers.
Yeah.
Oh. That film is terrifying and the visuals are like really disturbing. It's about a girl who gets kidnapped and is like a slave. And then these rats come to save her and they find like this jewel in a human skull.
They are mice.
And there's alligators that are like killing people. It's a terrifying movie. I maintain that that's a horror. I mean, it's the...
Underneath, that is what it is. But when you watch it, like you don't think about that.
Oh, I did. That movie
well,
was terrifying when I was a kid. I could not watch that film.
Before you said anything about that, thinking back on The Rescuers, I don't think about any of that stuff. I mean, once you say it, then it's like, oh yeah, all that stuff did happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know... Disney always did a good job of masking all that stuff. When you go back and look at Disney films, they are very dark.
No, but a
lot of them are very dark.
They always add like a little element that like the kids wouldn't realize.
Yeah,
right?
It's supposed to go right over your
head. Yeah.
Like in Bambi, the mom gets shot first scene.
Wasn't there something in Little Mermaid too?
There was something in Little Mermaid. Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But
what
in
it was,
like Snow White, it's. The evil queen, you know, has like a skull in her chambers and all this like dark stuff, you know, but it's supposed to go right
Little
over
Mermaid
your head,
those,
like in The Rescuers.
You're talking about the phallic symbols in Little Mermaid?
Oh, well that, I know about that. That was not supposed to be there, but it's definitely
they
there.
They freeze frame some of the frames of that movie and they had the phallic symbols
on
the castle.
On the original cover, one of the towers of the, of the castle that's on the cover of, I don't know if it was on the poster, but it was definitely on the VHS cover because when I learned this, I went and looked at it and it was there. One of the towers is definitely in the shape
but
of
also
a
are
phallic
you kidding?
Symbol. No, I'm not kidding.
I heard there's a freeze frame of her, like a crotch shot or something.
Well, in The Rescuers,
yeah, I was gonna say.
There's this one portion of the film where there's just like a bunch of light going by. And if you freeze it at the right moment, one of the lights is actually like a picture from a pornography of a topless girl.
Yeah, because when they're flying by apartments, and you freeze frame it.
Yeah. And the only way you could find that is if you freeze framed it on the right frame. But you can like Google this stuff. It's all
That's the animators doing.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Human,
if Disney knew about that, they would take that stuff out. Yeah, that's
which is funny
intended,
because doesn't every frame get approved?
Yes, that's so why somehow I don't it slips know through how this. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's wow. funny. Do you guys have like a timeline? I know obviously it depends on the Kickstarter. Like, if you end up reaching the goal, but do you have like a timeline when you want it to be completed if you do reach the goal?
Stephanie, I'll let you.
I mean, like
that.
Our goal is 2021. But you really don't know. I mean, and we want to do it right, of course.
Yeah, you
know,
don't
there's
rush
no
it.
Rushing
yeah.
it. There's no half-assing it. Not especially like with us raising all this money and, you know, putting so much into it. We wouldn't want to half-ass it. So the goal is 2021, but animations, even this, could take 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, we really don't know.
It also depends on, like, the animators. Are we able to hire someone to work full-time? Or are we able, or are we going to be hiring someone who's going to be working, you know, maybe they work as a professional animator and on the side they do our job, or in between jobs they do our job. It's really going to depend a lot on that type of dynamic. So it's really hard to estimate how long it will take, especially when we haven't hired the animators yet.
Is there a style, a certain look you guys are looking for? Is there like a movie you guys maybe want to...
What movies? So the movies we...
We have a few movies.
Yeah, we have a few movies that we...
Look kind of like, oh, that looks cool.
So the movies we've been kind of taking as influence from our film are... All of the Miyazaki films, but his specifically My Neighbor Totoro, which deals with a young girl and an illness with her mom. The mom's still alive in that film, but dealing with that illness. Yeah. So there's a lot of thematic similarities. The Iron Giant, which
I was
going to
mention that Iron Giant because that was pre all the anime. Right. Well, there is some.
There's
computerized.
Computer, but it's still 2D. Yeah. But like the giant is
it was
like
at that
I love that movie
stage where they were starting to put 3D
exactly
because
some other
robot
is animate computer animated.
And the Iron Giant's like this misunderstood monster who's not really a monster, and that's kind of our film is kind of looking at that same element, and so we've taken a lot of inspiration from the Iron Giant. The third film we've been looking at a lot is Song of the Sea, which is an Irish film from Studio
Cartoon Saloon.
Cartoon Saloon.
They also did Secret of Kells, and they also did The Breadwinner, which was like a few years ago, I think.
They have a really beautiful, just like visual style. Yeah. It's definitely meant, their visual style is meant to invoke emotion over realism and naturalism, which we're really influenced by. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted our film to be 2D, as we talked about earlier, was to have that emotional invoking style. So that's a really great example as well.
That's awesome.
When we read the script, we definitely saw like painting, watercolor, that type. I mean, we're not literally going to animate it with watercolors.
Right.
Just
but,
that kind of...
But that, that kind of style and that kind of feel. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like the concept art stills that you see on our Kickstarter and that we've put out on Facebook, that's basically what the film is going to look like.
Right.
Okay. Stylistically.
Awesome. So if people want to go find the Kickstarter... Mm-hmm. And your Facebook page and stuff, where do they go?
So it's whatwe'remeantfor.com. It's literally just the four words, one word with a contraction. Whatwe'remeantfor.com. That'll take you to our Kickstarter page. Our Facebook page, if you just go on Facebook and look up
same
What We're Meant For, you'll find it.
Awesome.
Same thing with our Twitter. And those are the three avenues where you can really learn more about us. Everything's on the Kickstarter page. You can really learn all you need to learn about the film from there. And then you can follow us either by contributing to our Kickstarter page, hopefully.
Right, yeah,
or,
yeah.
But you can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, you guys should definitely go check out their Kickstarter, donate, be a part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yeah. We got a lot of really cool stuff. I'll just mention one thing because we think it's the coolest thing. One of the levels for our Kickstarter, the reward is our concept artist will sketch you in the style of the film. So if you ever wanted to see what you would look like in a 2D
animated
style.
Character.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, we just that's a pretty fun thing.
Yeah,
that
that's a cool. That's a cool bonus.
So so you guys check it out, and hopefully you'll see something you connect with, and you'll be able to help us get it made.
Yeah, and we'll tweet it out a link also.
Yeah, we'll tweet
Thank
it
you.
Out.
Yeah, and our Facebook.
Appreciate it
for
definitely.
Sure.
Instagram. Thank you guys.
Instagram.
Instagram.
All right. Awesome.
Anything else you guys want to talk about? Like anything we should know or?
Just thank you guys for having us on the show. Of course. It's great seeing you again, Gary.
Yeah, you too.
And we're really excited about this project and to let everyone know about it and to chat with you guys about it.
Yeah, great. Awesome.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, thanks guys.
For sure.
All right. Well, that was an awesome interview.
Great interview.
Yeah. You guys can, you know, go to their Kickstarter at whatweremeantfor.com and you can find out all the information you need.
How to donate.
Yeah, you can donate.
There's also a short animated. Is it animated?
Well, they have like their intro video on there, which kind of explains
how it's going to look.
Yeah, how it's, you can see like the concept art.
Concept. Yeah. The project. Yeah.
And they kind of talk more about the project in the video as well. Don't forget you guys can subscribe to us on iTunes at Two Guys on Set. And you can get notified.
Follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram. Everything at Two Guys on Set Podcast. And make sure you write us a good review on iTunes. Yeah. Please.
5 stars, please. Help us up. You know what I mean? Keep that Yelp score going high.
Exactly. Anything else you want to plug, Gary?
You can check out my YouTube sketch comedy channel at Sticky Floor. Sticky Floor. Yep. What about you, Jaime Doll?
You can check out my photography Instagram at Jaime.g.photography. Check it out. Give me some likes. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that's basically it.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. This has been another episode of Two Guys on Set Podcast, and we'll try to check you out next week.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. All right.
This episode is brought to you by ToySparks.com. ToySparks is a website that focuses on providing parents with knowledge and education about the best toys on the market. You can find lots of toy reviews on ToySparks, as well as articles like iPad accessories your kids will love, children's toy storage ideas, and much more. ToySparks also has great educational articles like how STEM enhances your child's development and why you should encourage sleepovers. ToySparks.com, the toy website that sparks children's imaginations.